SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, weekend preview, and plenty of that previewing is focused on Chicago and Arlington Park. And Ed DeRosa back in Chicago for million day, what number, Ed?
This is eight for me.
Nice. Very nice.
Nice circling on the calendar every year, a favorite trip. I came up here with Tom Law when we were Thoroughbred Times in 2007, and then haven't missed one since 2012. So they put on a heck of a show, and it's always a pleasure to be part of an international event in racing.
Well, it looks like everything has worked out okay after early week wet weather. Turf should be to virtually everybody's liking. Apparently, little cut in the ground. Give us an overview first on what's been going on, Ed, and then we can get into some analysis.
Yeah, it seemed like, maybe it's because I came a day later. I flew up here Thursday morning instead of driving Wednesday, so truncated week, I guess. But it seems like a lot more horses were on the ground earlier in the week, which is always good with the TV cameras and such on draw day, and they get to see some of the competitors. So it's been good here, and there has been some wet weather. It's mostly been contained the evening hours, though, so training is, no excuses there. It's been great to see the horses on the track, and I have heard, like you, that with the rain, definitely won't be firm tomorrow. We'll have some cuts. So, like you said, should be fair for all, and looking forward to a big three races, some guaranteed pools.
Excellent. And before we do any selection and any big picks, some thoughts about last week. What went right?
Not too much right for me, but I have to say, sometimes you're just wrong, and it's a pleasure to watch. I mean, I thought, obviously the conditions of the race and with the delay and ending up being in the slop when, we were fast all day was, I'm sure, disappointing for a lot of people, but I thought Diversify, made me look foolish for being so against him. He just blitzed that field, and I thought Mind Your Biscuits, certainly nothing wrong in defeat. He got beat by a horse who was able to run his race, and I thought Mind Your Biscuits acquitted himself well. And I saw some people say, oh, look, he finished third. Number one, I didn't think that horse was completely hopeless for the minors especially. And number two, I picked two horses that I thought would run better that were behind Mind Your Biscuits, so I'm not going to hold that against them. And it adds a little spice to a division. I think we've sort of been waiting for some big performances, and now Diversifies put two together back-to-back. Mind Your Biscuits with the versatility is fun, and hopefully we'll get a healthy B jersey and Army Mule tussling in the Dirt Mile division, which is one turn this year since the Breeders' Cups at Churchill. So after maybe a quiet older male start to the year, hopefully the second half beginning to show some promise.
Well, of course, we also are going to get the West Coast elements are going to start to come into focus too. Pacific Classic next week,
yes.
And Costa Aronis and John Sadler with their assault, Catalina Cruiser and Accelerate, two-fisted support of the division. We'll look forward to their performances. Looks like Catalina's heading this way. Should be very interesting as things start to distill down toward Breeders' Cup. And you bring up Mind Your Biscuits. Haskin yesterday, we were talking, and Steve spent some time with the horse and with Chad. The opportunity to run that one-turn mile at Churchill is just, which is what that concept always was, that Churchill and Belmont would be able to run Breeders' Cup dirt miles in the classic one-turn mile configuration, and we're still waiting for that first Belmont version of the one-turn dirt mile. But when we come to Churchill, we get, you know, what it was meant to be. And it feels like that's got his name on it.
We've had some big prices in the one-turn version. Thor stole it with the Dakota phone, I think his name was, at a big price. And, you know, unfortunately, the two-turn version has been sort of the free square with Liam's Matt, Golden Sense, 1 year. I forget who won it last year, but, you know, I hate to take away from a grade $1 million race, but I'd be lying if I said there's just not a little extra mustard when it's the one-turn mile and just sort of that true Met Mile, Cigar, Handicap type of race. So definitely looking forward to having it under the Twin Spires this year at one turn.
Well, looking forward to getting back to the Ville. Let's dive in, Ed, and make some money for people.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll start with the free money, and hopefully, you know, our visits on here, I definitely like to tout the home team, and I'm proud of the promos we do, but the one we have for the Arlington Million Pick 4 day, it's Twin Spires, is I think must play because it's a 20% get back. If you lose your bet, you get 20% back on what you bet. If you win, you get a 20% bonus on what you win, and it's capped at $500 a player a day, and that's on every Pick 4 tomorrow at Arlington. So
nice.
20% to me is a big, big number. And if you're playing these Pick 4s and are able to do so on Twin Spires, I don't see why you wouldn't for the 20%. So definitely wanted to get that out there. And it's some challenging sequences throughout the day. Of course, the all-stakes version is what we're all excited about. And I do think the Secretariat and Beverly D are the two more logical finishes, or I expect to be, than the Million. Secretariat kicks it off as race 9, and it's really hard to look past the Belmont Derby horses in here. I think analyze it. You know, Catholic Boy's gotten the best of them twice, and there's, you know, maybe been some issues in the stretch, but no doubt in the talent. And I thought Hunting Horn, you know, first over here, came home as quick as they did, analyze it. I mean, the top two were just better, but I just can't see anyone beating these two. So hate to go so thin with the logicals early, but that'll allow us to spread a little bit in the Million and Pucker Up, which are two very competitive races. The Beverly D, Chad Brown looking for his fourth in a row, fifth overall. And certainly, I think, is coming with the right horses. I mean, Sister Charlie especially, we know about four-star crook capable of running with her, and our good friend Gary Young's flying in for the race to watch four-star crook, so that's exciting for him. But I think Athena coming out of that Belmont Oaks, I like that she made the lead inside the stretch. I mean, yeah, it was a big closing kick, but she was ahead you know, pretty much by the 16th pole and looked like the winner. And I appreciated that kind of run, and I think it's the type of run that you'll need to get the job done here from the back, because we know Chad's going to have the race cornered pretty much at every pole. But I thought I really liked what I saw there, and I think Chad's going to take a lot of money. And even if we get 3-1 or 7-2 on Athena, I think that's an okay price. So I'm gonna play back the Belmont Oaks form. And then turning to the Million, this is where I finally hopefully get the price and bust things open a little bit. But I like Century Dream. I watched some of the mile races, and this is a horse that was able to track the pace going a straight mile. I see no reason why this one can't get first run going a mile and a quarter, tracking a horse like Deauville and probably, you know, a couple others I think will be in front. But love that William Buick's aboard. You know, sometimes with the international jockeys, you have some concern about how they ride here, but no such concern with WT. He's won races here. He's run at tracks all over America when the call is needed, and I definitely trust him to work the trip, and I think we'll get the right price on Century Dream. So that's my little step out for the big three grade one races.
Excellent. All right. And, you know, that's been kind of the theme that you expressed. Marcus Hirsch, the same thing. Marty McGee, keeping narrow in the grade ones, leaning on, you know, the major players and trying to tiptoe. And, you know, then spreading in the pucker up if you're just playing the pick four, or in the pick five, in the Bruce D, spreading there, or having to spread in both. And that's what Marty kind of focused on, because that pucker up is eye-crossing.
It is, and he hasn't told me who he likes yet. I could probably narrow it down because you said she's 20-1 on the morning line, but I know Joe Christopher likes a bomb in there. And I mean, you're going to need one. If the Logicals win the Secretariat and Beverly D is most expect, you know, you definitely want. And, it, you know, with these pick threes and fours, especially pick five's a little different, but, you know, even a 6-1 or 8-1 fourth choice doesn't really, you know, blow up a ticket when you have obvious horses winning elsewhere. So definitely, you know, hoping for those $20, $30 horses in the other races.
Well, anything else, Ed, that you're looking forward to beside the big Chicago action?
Having my first Portillo's today, so looking forward to that for lunch.
Wait a minute. you've been to 8 Arlington Millions, and you've never gone to Portillo's.
I know. No.
That seems out of whack.
I resolved to take care of that this trip.
All right.
Today's
well.
Day.
Then let's give you a couple of other other options. I mean, there's only so much time, and Chicago, you could stay. You could been to every Arlington Million, and you won't get every great place to eat. But Italian Beef, Johnny's in Melrose,
the
Gene and Jude's
suggested.
For hot dogs. Gene and Jude's hot dogs with the fries flopped on top. Any number,
good.
Whatever you need. We can anchor. You ever been to the Anchor Inn?
No.
Anchor Inn for ribs. You're a rib guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I love ribs, yeah.
Anchor Inn.
So the Anchor Bar in Buffalo for wings and Anchor Inn and
there you
Chicago
go.
For ribs.
Exactly. And there's any number of options as anchors for people's bankrolls.
Well, hopefully, I've thrown
stewies
instead of anchors.
Oh, I love it, Ed. Have a great time. It's always fun to go to Chicago. And are you making a trip here, or I know Scully for Travers?
Yes, Scully will be there for Travers, and then they'll be up at Woodbine Mile.
Very nice. As it happens, the other day I was hanging with friends from Hamilton. Joe and Patty Caprio, and as I was leaving them, they were in Section D, a guy stopped me, I guess his longtime family friends with Scully. And
oh, wow.
Scully stays with them when he comes to Saratoga.
Ah. Small
yeah.
world.
Exactly. And he said, do you know if James, we haven't heard from James yet. Is he coming? I said, I think he is. So he's probably listening now. He knows exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah, I know James is looking for, he did a seminar last year, you know, of many, I'm sure there are, but he had a blast just, you know, getting to talk to people in the downtown area before the races. And yeah, he's very much looking forward to repeating that.
All right. Well, we'll do a live Travers preview day Friday, and Scully on that setting, and actually we may put him and how about him and Nick together? We haven't had one of those in a few in a while. That'll be good.
Nick Camaro.
Yes.
Yeah. Meeting
of the minds.
Must listen radio.
Exactly. Well, you're in a must eat town. So, by the way. You're going to Portillo's. You having a hot dog and Italian beef?
Yeah, I feel I need to. Just I haven't been there. I'm definitely going to go the Jim Steinman route and try to order as much on the menu as I think I can stomach.
Well, and then of course the famous chocolate cake afterward. You may want to take that.
That is the one constant that everyone has mentioned.
Yeah, you may want to take that in a clamshell. You may want to take two clamshells.
Looking forward to it.
I love it. Ed, have fun. And I know you will.
Yeah, let's make some money.
Attaboy. Ed DeRose, everybody. EJXD2 on your Twitter. Let's take a timeout and come back with Rick Hammerly. Hammer was in town. I literally saw him the minute he got to town and seconds before he left. That was, it was like a bookend visit with Rick. He'll join us next, talk about his Saratoga visit. He'll talk about the Graded State Committee gathering and more. What else? Delmar. We got to get to Delmar. We haven't talked about Delmar yet at all. They've also got the two-year-olds that are a nice counterpunch to the Adirondack and the Saratoga Special. Rick Hammerly joins us next. Weekend preview at the races. An absolutely exquisite day. Maybe the nicest day of the summer so far in the meet, certainly, is in store for you if you're heading toward the spa. Looks like we're in for a great weekend overall as well after another soggy couple of days here and there. But overall, don't complain. And remember those payouts from yesterday's 4th and 9th. That's all you got to think about. Say if we're going to have any off the turf racing second half of the meet, just think back to that and say, this is all right. I can do fine when they take it off the vines. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Calling all cars, police, police.
Call the police, hurry, hurry, won't you call the police, quick, quick, quick. Call the police, hurry, hurry, cause the guy has stole my gal from me. Call the police, hurry, hurry, won't you call the police, quick, quick, quick. Call the police, hurry, hurry, cause the guy has stole my gal from me.
We're back at the races, and Hammer is back in California after a whirlwind trip to
Nat
Saratoga.
Nat King Cole, you finally got him on there, babe. Call the police. Love that.
You've been waiting for that. We finally made the dots connect.
Well, we did, and I tell you what. So I normally, under normal circumstances, you know, racetrack guy, so I went from Saratoga, got up in the middle of the night, flew back yesterday, spent it was at Santa Anita, got up in the middle of the night, drove down to Del Mar. It's like, wow. I went from hot to hotter to back to hot again. I mean, humidity, it's been unbelievable, the weather. But I still wouldn't trade the trip. But I'm telling you what, I think I had maybe the four hottest days I've had in my life somewhere where I wasn't near a pool or a beach. But
exactly.
It's still great. I tried to tough it out and put the old force jacket on a couple days up there in the clubhouse. And then the third day I said, sorry, not happening. But I'm telling you, Monday at best, I think, was as hot as you could possibly be. But I'm sitting here at Del Mar in Mike Machowski's office on the backside of Del Mar, and I'm sweating bullets here, too. So it's only 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it is, 8:30. So it's hot everywhere. But the racing has been hot, too, so that's all that matters.
Well, and I did see, I didn't read the specifics, but I did see that it was unseasonably warm down there. I noticed that.
Yeah. Now, down here, when it gets to be 80 degrees, if it hits the 80 number, it's usually gets to that, it's kind of hot. And when it gets to 85 and the wind's not blowing, it's hot as can be. And down here, most of the homes don't have air conditioning. Most of the, you know, the condos or places that you stay. So fans are a big commodity at the stores, and they sell out quick just to keep the air moving. But unseasonably warm down here. It's okay. But the good news is the water's warm, too, so the ocean will be calling a little bit later before we get back to the race.
Nice.
But,
nice.
You know, like you said, you know, I think I saw you in the first 5 minutes landing and, you know, a couple places here and there. And then
right.
I saw you at the premiere and out the door. It was a go trip, but, you know, got to see a lot of people and go to the races and the sale and, you know, hit the usual restaurants. And it was a good run.
Nice. Tell us about what was accomplished at the Graded State Committee meeting.
Well, we have this is kind of an intermediary meeting, and this not a whole lot of action goes on at this one. This is, we kind of set the stage for the big meeting, which is in late November, where we actually look over the races and grade them. So just a lot of kind of some strategic how we're going to handle the meeting, some different you know, parameters and maybe some different categories that we're going to concentrate on. And we do this every year. We kind of pre-plan and have certain committee members study certain groups, and so when we start the meeting, we're kind of on top of it already. So not much action. It's you know, it's like any group. You need to get together, you need to sit around the table, you need to see each other and talk about issues that come up. And so, you know, boring as far as that goes, but great to see everybody. And we'll be a lot more to talk about, obviously, after the November meeting, when we actually go through every race and grade it. And the one thing that we did decide that we went back to the two-day meeting for the grading instead of one. We felt that you know, towards the end of that first day it wasn't getting the same attention as it was early in the
sure.
day. So we've
sure.
done the two-day thing, and we've slowed everything down, and we're really able to take a much better look at things. And so we just go over the processes of how we're going to, you know, look at the races and maybe some of the things that we're going to concentrate on more. You know, in more of a global fashion than individual races this time. But, you know, we'll have a lot more races run by then, obviously through the Breeders' Cup, and then we'll sit down and pound out the, you know, the 400-plus races and see what we can do. But anyway, you know, out here, I got lucky and didn't get rained on too much. There, a couple of races were taken off the turf, and, you know, some of the races were run kind of slow. But, yeah, it's always fun sitting in the Saratoga grandstand and making it better, too.
Well, glad you're here and got a chance even if it was just to say hello, goodbye.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention, you know, hopefully we could get together maybe on the Tuesday and go out on the lake, but the weather was supposed to be, you know, possible thunderstorms and this and that, and, you know, obviously it's the last place you want to be when the lightning's coming is out in the middle of the lake in a boat, a metal boat. so we didn't, but we'll, you know, like I said, all we need to do is say hi, and I know it goes a lot further than that, but I have a lot of smiles, a lot of friends that I get to see there that I don't see too often, especially at the sales and things, but come right back here, and this meet's been going gangbusters. The field sizes, we talked about this the last few weeks at Santa Anita, how the works were up and there were more horses on the ground and getting ready to go, and it sure has carried through here, and so it'll be good to go to the races here today, and I think probably the big stories has been the two-year-olds. All the universal good things have all been universal good things. They've all won. They've all run through the TV, and we'll start to see some of them run back in some of the stake races, which tomorrow is the best pal, call it a prep, whatever you want to call it, for the final race here, the grade one. And one of the marquee horses shows up, Instagram, from the hot Jerry Hollendorfer stable. He draws the rail with Van Dyke, and that position, post position here, hasn't been as bad as maybe it has back there. And we saw Bob's horse Roadster win from the rail without have too much trouble, so I wouldn't worry about that. And obviously well deserved, going to go off the big favorite, but the horse right outside of him, owning from the Simon Callahan barn. Simon's been firing on all cylinders, especially with his young horses here, winning the stake last weekend. But, I mean, what's wrong with this one? Broke his maiden at Los Alamitos as well. Obviously not as big a number and not as fast, but did it convincingly for the Redham stable. And a solid second choice. If there is a stumble or something happens and Instagram doesn't get out and get pinned down in there, I mean, owning has every right to run a good race for a possible upset, but that definitely would be an upset if that happened. So exciting to see at least one of these run back. And then in the futurity, in three more weeks, we'll hopefully see them all come together. And, the best against the best. And then, obviously, when they come to our meet, our autumn meet, we'll still go long for the first time. So, you know, the Derby and the Triple Crown's over, but now we start looking ahead to possible horses for that for next year.
Always. And this is it's an important weekend on both coasts, because we've got the Adirondack and Saratoga Special here, and watching these horses take the next step. And, you know, particularly for Larry Best with Oxo, you know, the aggressive purchases he's made, and Instagram, you know, one of what, three that he's flashed in short order. And this is the one that came from the Los Al. He still has got Rowayton and Brill that are still,
right,
still yet
still
to come,
in the so. Club. So,
yeah,
ran into Johnny Dowd, who does work for Mr. Best. I guess
yes.
they got a couple more at the sale there, and he's had a great start. So when we see that, we always like to get them going early, and it's good to see. So hopefully we'll do that. I think he's got a half a dozen with Chad, I believe,
mm-hmm.
And so be on the lookout for some of those.
Now, including, looks like, Pennsylvania Derby for Instilled Regard, the three-year-old that has been kind of out of sight, out of mind.
And you know what? It's always the one sometimes that get put to bed for a little bit during this time of year and then come back later in the year. It seems to do them a lot of good, because there's a lot of money to be made in the second half of the year and in the first part of next year. So I still think he's in the top five three-year-olds this year. We kind of liked him. He ran a good race, I think it was at the fairgrounds, and then ran a decent race with us, and I think the break probably did him good, and maybe the change of scenery will do that too, but I expect to hear some noise from him later in the year.
No, it wouldn't be a surprise at all. If he's got kind of that, he's got kind of that Battle of Midway feel to him.
That's a great comparison, without a doubt. without a doubt. And we're, I'm here with Mike Machowski. I'm here with Mike Machowski. Do you have anything over the weekend? Here, I want to put him on here. He can maybe give you a couple horses to bet on. How's that? On Sunday.
Always,
hold on. Here's
always
Mike
nice to talk to Mike Machowski.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Mike, how you been?
Great. Everything's been well.
You helped some lucky players yesterday in that nightcap with the late pick five with that firster that got involved.
Yeah, named after our president. Yeah, named after our president. I got a few in this weekend. And I have one in the last race on Sunday. He ran a pretty good third down here, just from down inside. Last time he drew a better post, so I think he'll run even a little better Sunday and go another half furlong farther. And then we have a first-time starter on Sunday, 2-year-old colt that we've been pretty excited about. So, just get a little, hopefully he shows up in the afternoon, how he's been training in the morning.
Well, and that's the Street Sense colt, Street Image. In fact, before Hammer came on, I hadn't looked at Sunday, and I just printed out minutes ago that group, and it's all firsters, and this was a $200,000 purchase at Timonium. And talk about picking that horse out.
Yeah, it was a tough sale to buy a horse of that, and we really liked him. I mean, he happened to be one of the horses that was unfortunate to breeze in the mud over there. They had a bunch of mud over there, a bunch of rain during that time, but he was, breezed really well in the mud, and, we were just kind of really excited to, get him. I think we got lucky buying him.
He's out of a big brown mare, so the pedigree could do, almost anything long-term. But, boy, last work the other day, certainly last Friday, blistered.
That was really, really good work. I did that pretty well in hand, and should be set up well for Sunday.
And it's interesting. That was a gate work, and you had blown him out of the gate as well mid-July at Santa Anita, and then a couple of five-furlong works, building up. And this is a five-furlong start. What's your policy, Mike, when it comes to firsters and the variety of distances, five, six, six and a half, seven?
It just kind of depends on the horse. We were thinking maybe to run him down here the week ago, and the second 5/8 down here still had a little bit of a blow and was kind of quartered up, so I need another stiff work and I'm gonna get him ready.
Well, and you're also facing off against outfits that are coming with waves of these babies, and this feels like a group that's got a nice mix. There isn't necessarily an overly fancy steamer coming in here. Maybe you're the steamer.
Right. Yeah, no, he's trained like he's, pretty special. So fingers crossed and have some of the same guys involved in this horse. They've been with me for a long time, and, it's always good to win for those type of guys.
Absolutely. And let me ask you, too, while we got a chance, Algorithmic.
Yeah, we're just trying to get her going again. She's run some okay races, but not her bang-up races. She runs at Santa Anita, so, couldn't bring the hillside course down here with her. So we're going to try her 5/8 here in next book, and then, hopefully get her back home with us down the hill, which she really likes.
And I know that you got beat the other day in that last week in that CTBA, but six-pack gal seems okay.
Yeah, and I think she wants two turns, maybe grass, something like that.
Now, it's early, and why not take shots? I mean, that's one of the reasons campaign Calbred, Calsire types.
Exactly. One of the penalties sometimes is breaking your maiden early, then you're having to stuck run in those stakes and stuff like that because it's hard to get winners' races to fill. But, we'll get some of those winner races that Sandy needed to go. I know Rick will get them done for us.
I love it. Well, who else is lurking in the barn that we'll see before the end of the meet?
I got some other cowbred mains here that are pretty, solid for, Tommy Town, I also have another maiden in Sunday that should run very well. She got slammed out of the gate the first time I ran her down here on both sides and just had no chance, just eliminated. But she's back in Sunday. I think she'll run well, too.
That's in the maiden claimer.
Right, maiden 50, yeah.
I got to ask you about a personal favorite because I love the band. And Silver Spun Pickup, who really has been useful.
Right, yeah, we lost her at San Diego, but, you know, Pete Perella is one of his fans, too, so they owned her Legacy Ranch and have a few more for him now, so hopefully we can find something, you know, similar to her or better.
Who got her? Who took her?
Jack Carrabba.
Ah, all right. We'll watch for her to come back. This is kind of a personal favorite. Mike, good luck this weekend. Street Image in the 7th on Sunday. Looks good.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Always fun. Hammer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, you know, we sometimes have to go on site, you know, embed ourselves with the troops. Actually, actually, Danny Edson and I are back here collecting stall applications, or the final day
sure.
to do. So it's a good day to go see everybody because we're everybody's best friend today. Dan, like, hey, how are you doing? Everything's great. You know, whatever you need. So that'll change in a couple of weeks when we have to hand out the stalls. But as I said before, this is the toughest part of the job that we do is, you know, deciding who gets in and who goes where. And, you know, most of the guys, like with Mike here, you know, Mike has, you just talk to him, he's got horses and running maiden claimers and allowance races and maiden specials and stakes and stuff. So, you know, he has horses for all categories and he runs them. And so, you know, it's good to have trainers like him. We have, most of our guys are good here. You know what I mean? I really can't complain. And so, like I said, it's tough when you have to pare them down a little bit. But that's what we do, try and get the runners in, and so you guys can bet on them. But that's what we're here for today.
It's funny that your stall apps are due because they're due in New York, too, today for Belmont for the fall.
Yeah, it just keeps going, and for those that kind of know and understand what the stall app situation is, as each meet comes along, a trainer's horses will change. You know, they change over by the week, but over a period of months, and they're different. So it's our way of what they do is they literally fill out an application, you know. They have 20 horses. They write them all down and, you know, give us a few pointers on them, if they've been working, if they haven't been working. Then we'll run the past performances on all of them, go through them. And you know, someone may have put down 20 horses, but three of them might not have run in the last 6 months. And a couple of them are coming off injury and they needed some time to get back. So, my job is to, you know, pretty much say, you know, those horses we don't need on the track. You know, get them legged up somewhere else, and when they're, you know, 30 days out, we'll take them back. So they might put in for 20 stalls, but only 15 are, you know, race ready or close to being race ready. So, you know, they'll have to find, you know, another home for the five to get them ready. And then, you know, through the meet, you know, something will happen. One will get claimed, one will get a little hurt. So then they'll bring one of those others in to fill it up. But this process is just a way of kind of, you know, keeping everything fresh. As we go from meet to meet. So that's what we do. It's kind of a pain in the butt in ski, both for us and for them, but it's an evil necessity to keep things fresh and make sure that we have, you know, running horses on the backside instead of a layup. So that's our main goal for the stall app process. And, you know, obviously it was back in New York, talked to a few people about maybe coming back for the big meet, and, you know, when someone comes in, someone has to go out. So it's an evolving process. And like I said, sometimes it's not fun. It's fun when you have a lot of horses on there that are looking to run. But if you have too many, that means not everybody fits. So they might have to go somewhere else. So anyway, that's what that stall process is that we go through two or three times a year.
I also saw, Hammer, that there was news yesterday, the new grass course is finished at Santa Anita.
Well, it's not new. The entire course was last year was his second fresh year. What we did was we just refurbished it. Jesse Martinez, who does our course, if he says we got to, you know, replace a few running lanes, we did. So basically what we did, we resodded the running lanes on the hill and throughout the stretch just to keep that fresh. And that's come back, you know, it went from looking, you know, it was like dirt 3 weeks ago. Now it's bright green. It's in, it's rolling. And then when we get through this meet, we'll overseed with some rye to give it some that fullness. But that the tough grass, the Bermuda, has really taken hold, and which is why we were able to run so many more grass races at Santa Anita this year than we did last year. And hopefully we can run as many and even more if we have to, because let's just say that that's just the way it's going. And people, you know,
sure,
the fans love to bet on them. The finishes are closer, and I don't know, it just works out. So he says we need to do a little refurbishing. That's what we do. So that's been done, and you know, it looks like we could just run tomorrow. And but we're getting there. We're getting there, and so we're looking forward to a, you know, our usual little 6 week meet there with the Breeders' Cup preps, and then a little bit of time off, and then we get ready for the. It comes around quick. Seems like we just finished, but December 26th is it's ticking away. It's coming closer. So. So everything we do now kind of leads towards that.
Well, a couple of thoughts, Rick, before we wrap. Today, the feature, the Solana Beach. You got a group going a mile, nine of them. And we should also talk about the Rancho Bernardo on Sunday.
Yeah, the Rancho Bernardo, where did I pull that thing? I think what, they got five or six in there. A couple of stories. Our leader in that division, Marley's Freedom, I think's her name, who went from Bob Hess to Bob Baffert and was kind of running through the TV here. I think she's headed your way to run the Ballerina, which would be a stern test for her, but she's really exploded on the scene out here when she got back here. Rancho Bernardo, we got Sky Diamonds in there, who hasn't been as consistent as she was last year. So she won the race last year. And, well, literally has a win since then. Has not run bad, but she'll try to get back on track for Bill Spahr. Came off a good second last time. I think she'll be the horse to beat. Simon Callahan left the three-year-old here, Moonshine Memories, who was a dual grade one winner last year, won the races down here at Del Mar, obviously loves the track, has been trying to get back to that form, won a little straight three-year-old allowance racer the first week of the meet. Never faced older, so that's always a big step up. Even though we're talking and we're into August already, when you're running against those older fillies, sometimes it's a real class test. So we'll see what she's up to. And Tom Proctor has a threw in Deer Valley here, who has not won on the dirt, but he's here to run and came open, and you know him. You'd be wary when you throw him out of the race. He won the Philly Stakes last week. We had talked about Cambodia, and so a good six pack. You know, it's amazing all these Philly races, short, long, on the dirt. They just come up. They come up with a few of them, and we really wish we could get more participation, but somehow they just don't. I know the Ballerina will be a big race, so we'll see how our charge goes back there with Marley. And then today you got,
Solana Beach.
The Solana Beach today. You know, I went down with the ship last time with Moonless Sky with Eddie Truman. I think the race was a little bit too much running against that freak that Jerry Hollendorfer has at Valinska. Moonless Sky, I think you're going to get a better price on him. She's back with her own kind, so I kind of like the 8-1 in the program. And Queen B to you, Michael Pender. For some reason, I don't know why, but I think that horse is going to run a little bit better today. But these are the cowbreds.
She stretches out, and she may be alone out on the lead. She's going to be the speed.
Exactly. So You know how that goes. I think the rails are out as far as they can be, 30 feet. I mean, it actually looks like they're about halfway through the course. So Turner for home, the closer you are to the lead, it's going to be better. So that's the perfect post position for Queen Bee to you. But anyway, looking forward. Remember, it's late post tonight. So you can have a nightcap before you bet on Del Mar and after you bet on Del Mar out there for you guys.
I'll give you, in that race, there's a price that I'm a little interested in, and that is how unusual the Michael Pender coming out of the Santa Ana. And I think she, at 12-1, I'm a little interested. You know, you mentioned Moonless Sky, 6-1, Eddie Truman and KD, who gets reunited with her. And, of course, Glatt coming out of the Wilshire with Cordiality. This is a fun bunch, and there's a good maiden mile on the grass for the 2-year-old fillies that goes as the fifth tonight at 9:00 Eastern, 6:00 Pacific. And Proctor's in here, and this horse came up, asked the customer, came up the other day for the upstart, the young group, the Nexus Racing Club, which is out there to introduce the game to the youngsters, and Glen Hill, big part of making that possible. Barbadola on the rail, the Street Sense filly for Phil D'Amato, moves to grass for Agave Racing. This was a modest purchase at the yearling sale at Phasing in October. This is a sister of Adina Del Sur, and Barbadola will benefit from the move to the grass, and Tyler Bays, who's been riding great, gets aboard. Barbadola is your right price at 5-1.
Well, as you know, Steve, when you get to this time of year and they run these races going longer, most of them have been on the turf. I think it's you have to really give the advantage to the horses that have a start. As bad as they may look on paper, I think that start's worth a whole lot. So the two horses you mentioned have had the start. To get these guys to go first time out, two turns on either surface, it either takes a weaker field or a superior horse, especially on the day. So I always give a second look to a horse that's at least had a start. I mean, you got a Peter Miller horse in there, Angel Alessandra, all right, last time. You know, got beat 10 lengths last time. You know, it doesn't matter. It's way better than a couple of workouts, and she's 5-2 in the program. Pratt jumps on her. So she's going to be live, too. But you take a shot, I think, when you take a horse in these races that hasn't had a start. Like I said, it's tough to do, and I like your selections.
Well, and you gave – I can't remember if I brought this up with you last Friday or not, but – you got a big thank you from, I'm going to forget who wrote the email or tweeted, but they used your horse for course at Del Mar angle to great advantage and took a price down and made for probably a meat maker for somebody. So that was good advice, too.
You know what? It's so important, and it works at Saratoga. And you know, people, especially on a turf course even, people say, well, grass is grass. No, it's not. I don't know what it is. It's the surroundings, the way they line up the gate. I don't know if they're comfortable with it, they like it, and they win here. They seem to run back and run well. You just saw it with Cambodia last week. And, I mean, if you're in between choices, I would certainly always go with the one that's run well here at Del Mar.
Well, Hammer, big weekend ahead, one after the other. The summer, we're about the midway point, both at Del Mar and Saratoga. Sunday will be the start of the second 20 days here at the Spa. And it's great to see you, however briefly. And thanks as always.
Always a pleasure to see you and Tina. And it's not too early. It's about that time. It's not too early to start writing down some Breeders' Cup horses. Some horses that impress you now that do a little bit well, because a lot of trainers, if they run good now and they know what they got, maybe they take it a little bit easier before, you know, on that prep. They're not so worried about it. The horses that go into their final prep having to win it sometimes don't do as well in the next one. But the ones that have already proven themselves, they can just use the prep as what it is, a prep, and run good there. So it's about that time of year we can start jotting down some horses to keep your eye on for those Breeders' Cup races, which are creeping closer and closer too. So it's that time of year.
Yeah, very much. Rick, have a great weekend. Talk next week.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
Away they go. If you want to follow Hammer, excuse me, on Twitter. Here we are, noon on Friday. Nice day of racing. My first half of the card analysis is up at the website. Races 1 through 5. And I'll get the second 5 races up here by about 1 o'clock. Tomorrow, do a little Arlington. I'm sure that Gus will have at Brisnet. I'm sure Gus will have the full card analysis at Brisnet. Maybe some bonus opinions. If he has them, I'll put them up at the website. I want to thank Marty McGee, Ed DeRosa, and Marcus Hirsch, all on the scene in Chicago. James Scully, Nick Tamaro, and Hammer. Best of luck this weekend. Join us maybe on Sunday on TV, Capital OTB. We'll have the Matisse brothers, always a highlight of Loose on the Lead. Good luck today. Good luck all weekend. Talk to you Monday.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spot,